Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, December 26, 2024. Hope you had all had a happy holiday. We'll start with a story titled City of Danville Awarded 600K Park Grant Garfield Park to Receive New Playground Equipment Shelters. And this is written by Kegla White. And there's a picture of Landon Rose from Georgetown takes a dip down one of three water slides at the Danville Aquatic Center in Garfield Park earlier this summer. Children and families visiting Garfield Park in will soon get to enjoy new playground equipment thanks to a $600,000 open space land acquisition and development known as OSLAD grant from the state of Illinois. Danville is one of 100 communities in Illinois to receive such a grant through the Illinois Department of Natural Resources known as IDNR. $55.2 million grant aimed at expanding green spaces and creating new recreational opportunities for all, according to Governor J.B. Pritzker. We're thrilled to receive this funding as it will allow us to fully complete work on Garfield Park, Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said. Given that Garfield Park is perhaps our most frequently used park in the city, it's important that it be inviting and safe. The grant will fund further improvements to the park, including new playground equipment, cornhole equipment, football field goals, and a new shelter. ADA-compliant sidewalks will also wind throughout the park, providing people the opportunity for exercise outdoors. My expectations is that work will start any day now, after the first of the year, Williams said. The park has already received a makeover over the past year, including the renovation of Garfield Pool, which now includes new water slides and several permanent sun umbrellas, among other amenities. Following a public feedback meeting in the late summer, the city also added more parking between Garfield Park and the playground area. Next story is titled Stitching Their Own Path, Local Junior High Students Learning to Sew Thanks to Donations. This again is written by Kegla White, and there's a couple of pictures. The first one is students sew Christmas ornaments in Ms. Franzen's sewing class at Mary Miller Junior High. And then the second one is students from Mary Miller Junior High School show off Christmas ornaments they made in sewing class. A dozen students at Mary Miller Junior High School in Georgetown start every day, Tuesday through Friday, sitting at a sewing machine in Shelby Franzen's sewing class. Among several other options they could have selected, including pet care, outdoor activities, ancient Greek mythology, puzzles, book clubs, and more, these students have chosen to learn to sew. Our administration had talked to us and asked if we would want to teach a course over something that we love to do, and so that's kind of how it came about, Franzen said. Franzen, who has taught science at Mary Miller Junior High for the past 4 years, previously taught a class on sticker making with a circuit machine. With many passions herself, including beekeeping, Franzen said she jumped at the chance to teach kids to sew. My whole family knows how to sew, but really my great-grandmother and my grandma are the reasons I sew, Franzen says. Students have made all sorts of things already, some of which they've even been able to sell at places like Gordyville, including aprons, potholders, sets, and microwavable cozies. The class also made 7,000 masks during the COVID-19 pandemic. I brought in my two personal sewing machines last year, and I started teaching it to them. But with only having two machines versus having enough for each kid, we couldn't quite get a whole lot done, and not each kid got that experience, Franzen said. Thanks to donations from the community, the school was able to purchase enough sewing machines for the whole class to have hands-on learning experience. Now they get to learn a practical skill that they might use later in life, like hemming your pants or sewing on a button, Franzen said. Students love the class so much they seek out other opportunities to sew, Franzen said. I have two kids working on scrunchies right now. They took my sewing class prior, but they didn't all get a machine, so they didn't quite get to do what they wanted to wanted to during their class, but now during the fun day, they get to, Franzen said on Friday, December 20th, the last day before Christmas break. So it's really fun to see that kids want to come back and continue. Their last project of the semester was Christmas ornaments, which they were able to take home and hang on their Christmas trees. Next story is titled, Danville Mayor Ricky Williams gives commencement speech at Millikan University. And this, again, is written by Kayla White in Decatur. Graduates receiving their diploma from Millikan University this winter received some guidance from Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. at their commencement ceremony earlier this month. Williams, who was a presidential scholar at the university before earning his Bachelor's of Arts degree in political science with a minor in communication in 2000, encouraged graduates to be grateful for all they learned while studying at Millikan and to thank those who taught them those lessons. He also spoke about the importance of maintaining a strong work ethic. You heard that I was presidential scholar, but what my bio doesn't state is that after being the top of my class in high school and being on the dean's list regularly, I spent a semester on academic probation, Williams said in his speech. I came from a background where I could just rely on my own knowledge and not my work ethic. So one of the most important things that I learned here at Millikan was humility and the importance of working hard. After graduating from Millikan, Williams was awarded the full fellowship to pursue a PhD in political science at Emory University. One of only six individuals awarded the fellowship. Williams reminded graduates that their leadership could impact others around them. Without you reaching your highest potential, there are going to be other people who miss out on the world. You being your best helps other people be their best also, he said, encouraging graduates to encourage improving so they could better help others. I'm sorry. In closing, Williams advise graduates to make the world a better place wherever you go. I don't care what role that is. Use whatever gifts, whatever talents and you have gained and all of the knowledge and the skills that you have gained here at Millikan to help make the world a better place, Williams said. Next story is titled, Lakeview Student Faculty Member Received DAISY Award. Lakeview College of Nursing, known as LCN, honored a student and a faculty member with a DAISY Award during the college's Fall Research Day. Paige Hennessy, an LCN student from Gibson City, and Crystal Henry, an LCN faculty member from Danville, were presented with the awards. Hennessy, a student from the college's Danville location, was recognized for caring about others and prompting those she knows to get involved. When she sees or hears of someone struggling, her first thoughts is, what can I do to help? And then gets everyone else involved to help, according to Jessica Warren, an LCN student who nominated her for the award. Warren explained that when a fellow classmate lost a loved one, Paige organized a collection for this student to provide comfort and financial relief. She also organized a birthday breakfast for one of her instructors and shared academic resources with her peers. Paige is one of those people who is always making others laugh and lifting up those around her. She is an amazing person and deserves this award, Warren said. Henry, the faculty recipient of the DAISY Award, has been a faculty member at Lakeview since 2022. The nomination for Henry described her as caring and empathetic and someone who puts others first. Crystal has demonstrated an exceptional ability to connect with students, creating a supportive and encouraging learning environment, according to Gina Brassard, the LCN faculty member who nominated Henry for the award. Whether it's through meticulous guidance, doing skills, or thoughtful feedback on clinical performance, Crystal always ensures that the students are equipped with both the skills and confidence needed to help in their nursing careers. When a student is struggling, she does this, does not simply provide answers. She takes the time to mentor the student through the process, encouraging clinical thinking and providing emotional support. Her patience and understanding help the students grasp the clinical concepts and feel valued and empowered, Bassard said. Crystal's ability to inspire and elevate the next generation of nurses reflects the very essence of the DAISY Awards value, Bassard said. Hennessy and Henry received a DAISY Award certificate pin and a Healer's Touch sculpture. Others nominated for the Student Award included Opalula Babatunde of Matson, Tony Andres of Mattoon, and Presley King of West Terre Haute, Indiana. Other faculty nominees included the following: Deborah Cambrant of Tolono, Christina Smalley of Bismarck, and Rita Wallace of Marshall. The DAISY Foundation is an acronym for Disease Attacking the Immune System. The DAISY Foundation was established in 1999 in memory of J. Patrick Barnes, who died at the age of 33 from complications of an autoimmune disease. Patrick's family was very touched by the remarkable compassion and clinical skill demonstrated by Patrick's nurses during his illness, so they created DAISY to recognize exceptional nurses everywhere. LCN has partnered with DAISY to present awards to the extraordinary nursing students and faculty members. For more information about the DAISY Award and the LCN's online nominations form can be found at https://daisy-award. There are no obituaries today, so we'll just go to the next story titled Illinois Works Pre-Apprenticeship Program Celebrates Graduation. Danville Area Community College, known as DAC, celebrated the graduation of the fourth cohort of the Illinois Works Pre-Apprenticeship Program recently in the Technology Center. A total of 19 students graduated from the program, which began at the start of the fall semester and ran for 16 weeks, with classes held Monday through Thursday for 3 hours each day. These students earned $14.50 an hour while attending school. The Illinois Works Pre-Apprenticeship Program, offered in partnership with DACC, prepares participants in registered apprenticeships in high-demand trades such as carpentry, plumbing, and construction. Students can earn valuable trade experience and certifications while completing 18 college credit hours toward a traditional degree. Graduates have the opportunity to continue their education at DACC or enter the workforce immediately, a news release states. The program is funded by an Illinois Works pre-apprenticeship grant from the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, known as IDCEO. Over the past 2 years, DACC has received more than $850,000 to support the program and has applied for funding for a third grant year. The program is currently accepting applications for limited seats in the fifth cohort, which will begin on January 22nd. The nation and the state of Illinois recognize the skills labor shortage, said Professor Doug Hunter, Illinois Works Program Coordinator of DACC. The Illinois Works grant is a program designed to help elevate that problem. Good jobs are going unfilled, and the prognosis is that the problem will continue unless additional steps are taken to promote skilled trades. DACC has partnered with Illinois Works to recruit and prepare students to enter DOL registered apprenticeship programs throughout the state. For more information about the program, contact Doug Hunter at d.hunter@dacc.edu or Natasha Pounds at n.merangoli@dacc.edu or call 217-443-8882. And there's a picture. Pictured are back row from left, Professor Doug Hunter, Muhammad Abdulya, Damon Allison, Cameron Edwards, Andrew Scovran, Hayden Thomason, Eric Trimble, Troy Wiley, Professor Ben June. Middle row is from the left is Kyle Franklin, Myron Adams, Deegan Albert, Nathaniel Thomas Lorenz II, Kenyatta, Willoughby, Anaya, Austin, Jared Baker, and front row from left are Diamond White, Quentin Shade, Tavian McLeod, Program Administrative Assistant Natasha Pounds. Not pictured are Kenneth Pyle and Estacio Mullins. Next story is titled Local Family Displaced by House Fire. Danville Fire Department responded to a residential fire Sunday on North Vermilion Street. At 6:41 p.m. December 22nd, the department was called to the 1300 block of North Vermilion Street to find fire coming from two windows on the second floor of the brick home. According to the release, fire crews made a transition attack to extinguish the flames and contain the fire to the room of origin. There was smoke and water damage throughout the house. The occupants were outside when firefighters arrived. Two adults, four children, and two dogs were displaced by the fire. The American Red Cross and First Baptist Church assisted the family. Ameren assisted the firefighters by disconnecting the power and gas to the residents. Firefighters remained on scene till 9:15 p.m. The Danville Fire Department is investigating the cause of the fire, which remains undetermined. No injuries were reported. Smoke detectors were present, but had not alerted the occupants, according to the fire department. Damages are estimated at $40,000. Assisting on the scene were Ameren, Illinois, DPD, First Baptist Church, the American Red Cross, and AMT Ambulance Service. Next story is titled Illinois State Police say a trooper is dead after a roadside crash. And this is in Chanahan. A 35-year-old Illinois State Trooper has died after being struck by a vehicle on Interstate 55, the latest of more than two dozen roadside crashes involving state police this year, authorities announced Tuesday, December 24th. Trooper Clay Carnes was on I-55 roughly 50 miles, 80.5 kilometers outside Chicago about 9:45 p.m. on Monday when he spotted debris on the roadside. He pulled into the shoulder, turned on his emergency lights, and left the vehicle. Then was struck by a Chevrolet Silverado, according to the state police. Carnes was taken to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead late Monday. He was an 11-year veteran of the department. This is a sad day for the Illinois State Police as we mourn the death of Trooper Clay M. Carnes, who was killed while serving the people of Illinois and working to keep our roadways safe. ISP Director Brendan Kelly said in a statement Tuesday. Authorities said a 69-year-old man will face charges under the state's Move Over law, which requires motorists approaching vehicles along the roadside to slow down and change lanes to provide more space. It's also known as Scott's Law in memory of Chicago Fire Lieutenant Scott Gillian, who was assisting at a crash scene in 2000 when he was struck by and killed. State police said Tuesday fatal crash is the 26th in 2024 related to the Move Over Law. The crashes have left 12 other state troopers injured. Next story is titled Nearly 300 New Illinois Laws Take Effect in 2025, and this is written for Capital News Illinois. Time to study up, Illinois. When the clock hits midnight on New Year's Day, 293 new state laws will take effect. These include some of the defining bills of the 2024 legislative session and others that will change how people get IDs, evaluate job postings, and even cancel gym memberships. In addition to the laws taking effect on January 1st, the state's minimum wage will rise to $15 an hour to complete a ramp-up initiated during Governor J.B. Pritzker's first month in office in 2019. Digital driver's license. The Secretary of State can begin creating a process to issue digital driver's license and state IDs beginning in the new year after Pritzker signed House Bill 4592. Residents will be required to receive a physical ID, and agencies or private entities will not be required to accept digital IDs in place of physical IDs. Providing a phone to police to show a digital ID also doesn't give police consent to search a person's cell phone. Salary transparency. Employers with 15 or more employees must include information about benefits and the salary range on job postings, according to House Bill 3129. The law will also apply to businesses hiring for remote work positions in Illinois. When employers aren't transparent about pay, gender and racial wage gaps widen, costing women and people of color valuable compensation, Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton said in the news release. Illinois' now pay transparency law is a resounding win for the working people who call our state home. Junk health insurance. Short-term, limited-duration health insurance plans will be illegal in Illinois beginning January 1st. The plans, often called junk insurance by critics, do not meet the minimum standards of the Federal Affordable Care Act. The ban outlined the House Bill 2499 was part of Pritzker's health insurance overhaul that lawmakers passed in the spring. It was aimed at reducing barriers for care to care for patients and making health care more affordable by expanding coverage requirements for insurance companies. Short-term insurance plans are typically for people who have a lapse in health insurance coverage, such as when they lose or change jobs, but they are different from COBRA benefits, which most employers are required to offer under federal law. Supporters of the bill argued the plans are deceptive and stick consumers with huge out-of-pocket costs, but others said that the plans provide consumers with an affordable option to fill a gap in coverage. Caregiver discrimination. House Bill 2161 adds family responsibilities to the list of categories protected from discrimination and retaliation in the workplace. The new law prevents employers from taking adverse action against employees because of their responsibilities as a caregiver for a family member, which could cause them to miss work. Bill sponsor Representative Will Guzzardi, Democrat from Chicago, told a House committee in April that pregnant women are a good example of who the bill is designed to help. He said pregnant women shouldn't be passed up for a promotion or face other consequences at work in anticipation that they will be taking time off to take care of their baby. Guzzardi stressed that the bill does not protect employees who fail to meet their job performance requirements. AI regulations. New laws governing artificial intelligence take effect January 1st. It will be illegal to generate child pornography using AI, according to House Bill 4623. Supporters of the bill, including the Illinois Attorney General Office, said it's become more difficult to distinguish between real and AI-generated images. They said updating Illinois child pornography laws was a necessary two-step allow law enforcement to identify and prosecute child pornography cases. House Bill 4875 also adds new protections to prohibit using AI to recreate a person's voice, image, or likeness for commercial purposes without the person's consent. Recording artists can seek damages for violations of the law. Politics and religion at work. Employees can't be required to sit through work meetings discussing religion or politics starting January 1st. Senate Bill 3649, an initiative of the Illinois AFL-CIO, creates new protections for employees who skip out on such meetings and prevents employers from retaliating against them. The law does not prohibit discussing religion or politics at work, but employees are required to participate in the discussions if such activities are not part of their job. The law excludes nonprofit and advocacy groups where politics or religion may be part of the job. Just a quick blurb here about new laws to help protect victims of crime. Enhancing Scott's Law. Scott's Law, also known as the Move Over Law, requires motorists approaching a stop emergency vehicle to proceed with caution and yield to the right of way by moving out of the lane adjacent to the emergency vehicle. If that's not possible, such as such as if the road only is two lanes, drivers are expected to reduce speed as they pass the scene. This new legislation will ensure that individuals operating a vehicle yield the right of way by making a lane change and reducing their speed when approaching the scene of an accident, emergency, or a construction zone. This will result in safer road conditions for emergency responders, construction workers, and other motorists. Okay, we'll run through some community briefs. Celebrate New Year's at VFW Post number 2395. The Fountain County Old Guard Post 2395 will ring in the new year at the post located at 1212 Liberty Street in Covington from 8:30 to 12:30 a.m. on December 31st. The event is open to the public. The celebration will include karaoke with Jim Coleman, door prizes, a 50-50 drawing, and biscuits and gravy. Westfield Library to show movie. Wednesday afternoon at the movie returns to Westfield Public Library starting January 8th at 2 p.m. Participants will watch Reagan starring Dennis Quaid. Light refreshments will be served. On January 8th at 10 a.m., the library will have a preschool program. The children will have story time, a craft, and snacks. Call 217-267-3170 to register. And the Vermilion County, view the lights of Kennecook. The Vermilion County Conservation District invites the community to Kennecook County Park to view Christmas lights at the Neff Grocery Store, Atwood Home, and Print Shop. Christmas light displays will be on display through December 31st from 5 to 8 p.m. Data breach at IDHS compromises a 1 million customers. On April 25th, the Illinois Department of Human Resources experienced a privacy breach. An outside entity through a phishing campaign gained access to multiple employee accounts and files associated with the accounts. The files included the Social Security numbers of 4,701 customers and three employees. On October 31st, IDHS sent written notice to 2,900 customers whose Social Security numbers were accessed. The remaining 1,700 individuals will be considered noticed via the media release and website posting because IDHS does not have their current address on file. On November 21st, 2024, IDHS sent email notices to the three employees whose Social Security numbers were accessed. If you believe you have information or were compromised, contact the IDHS at 1-800-843-6154. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, December 26, 2024. Looks like it's going to be kind of in the 40s today. Little rain did every now and then, I guess they think anyway. Supposed to be a decent week this week. Not a lot, you know, super cold or anything. So hopefully y'all have a good week. Don't forget to make your New Year's resolutions, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care, guys. Have a good week. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Bye-bye.